proposal ideas. Yeah.
Right.
The proposal ideas, the deadline is April 15th, but we already need to start writing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Of course.
The thing is, I don't know. I'm still talking with, I'm planning to do this with Ramsey.
Okay.
But we are still trying to figure out whether we're going to submit or not. It's not yet clear because I think Ramsey might be too busy to make this submission. So he asked for some more time for him to decide. So I'm still waiting to hear from him.
So is he working on SSD or?
He wants to, and he knows that we are working on SSDs. So he had a discussion at FAST about doing a proposal together on SSDs. And that's what I've I've been writing about.
Okay, I see. But in any case, can you do it alone, or?
I could do it alone, but I do want to do it with him because I think that will certainly help us in the long run to start working with that group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but, you know,
trying to do that, but if we have a joint grant, then it will force us to work together.
No, no. That makes sense. The thing is that you know, if he doesn't have the time, right?
If he doesn't, I have already another proposal that I'm working on. So I don't need two proposals actually because I'm
okay.
I'm doing another one with Ming Zhao and Jason on persistent memory.
So okay.
The stuff that George has been.
Yeah.
So that's the proposal I'm already working on and leading right now. This thing is something that I'm doing because I want to work with Ramsey, and we talked about it for quite some time at FAST. And now I'm actually hoping that he says he doesn't have time because I really don't have time. And two proposals is never a good idea. Just like two papers is not a good idea.
Right.
So.
I see.
But in any case, I mean, if he says yes, we'll do it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it would be good to have your comments.
Yeah. So, one thing I do know, the thing is that you said that the thesis of this proposal would be to explore the disruptive ways in which flash memory can be utilized. What do you mean by disruptive?
Disruptive meaning change the way in which anything that changes the current state of systems is a disruptive technology because it promises to require you to rebuild and rethink, redesign your systems.
Okay.
That's what, and disruptive is actually a negative word, but
right.
At NSF it's very positive.
Okay, that's, you know, that's a good thing to know, but why? Okay, see, so I guess in this context means that some kind of revolutionary,
complete redesign, okay. Right?
And rethink the whole thing. Okay. So I was thinking you're describing here something about how can we keep sustained right performance, right?
Yeah.
So you said that we can do this by redirecting blocks at the block layer. So actually, if we do this at the block layer, it's not that we are actually repeating the work of the SPL in some sense.
There is a difference, actually. I haven't really read the DFTL paper completely. I need to read that paper. Maybe they have some new ideas there. But the key thing about DFTL is that it's limited. It cannot guarantee switch merges always. On the other hand, at the block layer, if we're always doing sequential writes, then we can more or less guarantee switch mergers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why, I mean, how, well, two questions, right? How do you, how can you keep sequential, or how can you guarantee switch mergers at the block layer? That's by,
by writing sequentially, always.
Right. Sequentially?
If I always write sequentially, from the beginning to the end of the device,
mm-hmm.
and then beginning to the end of the device, and so on, like a circular
mm-hmm.
write, then I will, in effect, always have switch merges, right? Because I'm never updating a block in the middle. My blocks are completely erased from beginning to the end.
Right.
Because I overwrite them from beginning to the end. So which means all the blocks, all the pages inside a block will either be completely valid
mm-hmm.
or completely invalid.
Invalid, okay. So and okay, so in that case why do you say, I mean, what is the problem? Why we cannot do the same in the FTL?
Why can't you do it in the FTL?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you could do this in the FTL also, except that you will. Yeah. I guess you could do this in the FTL. Let me see. The only issue is that the amount of memory that you will need to store the indirection map. So as you redirect each page, you have to maintain this persistent indirection map.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As each block is being remapped to some arbitrary, each page is being remapped to some arbitrary page
mm-hmm.
in the logical space. And I guess the FTL is already doing that in some sense. So this could be merged with the FTL. You could do this in the FTL, yes. Given that you have sufficient memory, if you don't have enough memory to store the indirection map, you have to cache some of those mappings.
What the FTL people do?
The DFTL guys do that.
They actually compare their system with the TLD. Similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you keep in
mind. And they're also writing always sequentially. Or
I mean, they're
not using hybrid. I mean, they're
no.
using page level indirection,
they
and they always write
use page level indirection. So their point is that now you don't need to do
merging.
Exactly. I mean, you completely eliminate the merging problem because now you can map any page to any page in the whole slash.
Hmm.
Right.
So and they are always writing sequentially in that case.
They're always writing sequentially. I mean, they have one log.
Oh, but there's one log. Okay.
I don't remember, probably they have one log per, no, that makes sense. I think they have one log for the whole flash, and you keep doing, one from the.
So they don't have full merge, you're saying?
They don't have full merge.
They have switch merge.
Well, actually, they need to have some merge, right, because if
yeah.
you have. That's one of the comments I have in the paper, because now you need to reclaim blocks in some old blocks you have
okay.
to make a new block
mm.
and make some more blocks free
mm.
for them to be allowed again.
Yeah, I need to read the paper.
Yeah, I need to read more details.
Yeah, but I mean, you could do that. You could have a persistent indirection map and make all the right sequential.
But I guess the problem is, the problem is about the mapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, there is not enough memory. So this guy, the CFTL paper, solved that problem.
By caching those mappings.
Yeah, but it's more than that because it's more than that. No, I think that's all. No, they don't cache your writes. They write to this log.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the main contribution is they are able to map or do a page level mapping for the whole SSD,
mm-hmm.
rather than having this hybrid
block and page level mapping.
Block and page level mapping that makes the FTL to have these block merges, right?
Yeah.
Because now the problem with this hybrid is that you need to keep the pacing in the right position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cannot change the position or the offset of the pages within a block, right?
Right.
You need to keep the page in the exact position. And this position is completely removed when you have a page level mapping.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that's sort of the idea. Well, the other thing about doing it at the block level is that then you become independent of the FTL. So the FTL may be hybrid FTL, maybe block level FTL, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get the same performance as you can get with a more sophisticated FTL.
Right. So I was thinking, is there even a point to have same discussion and this, right? But if we didn't have an FTL at all, can we do something smarter in the operating system to implement our own FTL in the operating system to solve the right problem and the world as well?
I mean, the sequentializing random writes is basically that FTL.
Right.
And
I see.
It does the val leveling for you. And then internally, what do you need? You need the flash to do something because you need something inside the flash like an FTL because you cannot do overwrite. It's always a copy on write. And therefore, I think you cannot eliminate some translation inside the SSD. Because if the operating system issues write to the same location again and again, you cannot write to the same location again and again inside the SSD because you cannot overwrite in place. You have to copy on write. And when you make a copy, you need a translation.
Mm-hmm.
So having FTL inside the SSD cannot be avoided. There must be some basic FTL in there to allow for the copy and write.
But you can do the copy and write in the operating system, right?
You could, but eventually you will run out of space and you will have to overwrite something. That is the whole reason for having these free blocks as a buffer where you can write to.
Right.
Then the file system, the operating system will also have to do things like erase on its own, right? And that becomes a little bit too messy from an interface standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having some basic FTL inside the SSD, in my opinion, may be hard to eliminate because of the copy on write. Hello? Yes, Neda. Good. Okay. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. See you. Bye.
Okay. So that was a comment. So the other one is that talk here about the persistent FFT-based primary rate search. That is basically...
That's the third one.
That's the third one, yeah. That's the third use case.
Right?
So I guess the idea is just how to incorporate SSDs in rate systems, right? Somewhere or somehow.
Let me correct. What I meant there is, how do you build a multi SSD system? If you want to build a multi disk system, you do a RAID. You can do a RAID. That is one of the options
for
fault tolerance. If you lose a single disk, you can still survive. Now, if you want large capacity and you want to use only SSDs, how do you build the system?
Okay.
You can make a RAID like multi SSD system. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's not about incorporating an SSD into a RAID of disks. It's about building a RAID of SSD disks.
Okay. So my comment here is that you mentioned that this could be feasible in the case of in the case where the performance, the primary concern, rather than capacity. That makes sense, because SSDs are going performance, but costly, right? So what I add here, another a reason that could be performance and power, right? Or power, or both.
Yeah.
So that could also be a good motivation for having such a thing.
You did some measurements with the random writes on the SSD, right? And how much power it takes?
Yeah. So it was one additional watt.
Yes, one more watt.
So when you connect the SSD, you have one
watt.
1 watt on top of the consumption of the power supply.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do random writes, I think it was in, it was the same experiment that they have run. But it's random 4K writes. It was one additional one. Yeah, it doesn't consume very much. And actually, forgot to, but I don't know if that makes sense, to make the SSD asleep. I don't know if there is any sleep state for the SSD.
Probably, I think there is a standby for the SSD. I think there is a standby state in the SSD.
But they should...
You can try to power off, put low into standby mode, just like you can do with disk, and see what happens. Is it supported? Is the power changing?
Mm.
Since we have a power meter, we can always check that.
Right. Yeah, the bad thing is that it's not... the generality is not very good.
Mm.
Anyway, the other thing is that I have a big comment here that is... I read about this stream command, so the question is, how can we use the stream command in all those things, right? Like if we do a file system, can we use the stream command for something, right? To make it better, or?
The idea behind the trim command, from what I understand, is it like a delete command? More like a delete command to say?
No, the only thing is that string command says, or you send the string command with a block number. A block number. Saying, now this space is
free.
Empty. Yeah,
yeah.
It's free. So you can...
It's like a delete.
You can delete that
at
any time you want.
So that the file system can definitely do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the space that's unused by the file system, it can send out trim commands for all those blocks, and then the SSD can...
Yeah, and
add those blocks
to the free pool. So I was thinking about, before reading about the stream, I was thinking that probably having a command like this would be good, because if you have a copy and write file system, right, like CFS, I don't know, or LFS, then after, or when you make the, when you make a block free, now you can send this string, this this string comment to the SSD saying, okay, now you have this free then.
Right.
Which I think will increase the performance.
Okay. Not just that, it allows you to reuse that. You don't need to read data from that block because it's, you don't need to copy anything. For merging and you can erase the block if all of them are free.
Mm-hmm.
You can do lots of interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, that's all about this. So I have a question to see what you think. So, you know, now I would have this interview with Google, right?
Mm.
So what do you think would be a good question for them? You said you last time mentioned something like ask them how publishable is the work.
Mm.
I guess that's one question. But what else can I ask them? Like,
you can certainly ask what kind of work do you think I will be doing. I think those are reasonable questions to ask. There's more information about the position.
Right.
Okay. When is your interview, by the way?
Thursday.
Next Thursday?
Yeah, but it's at 9 because they put it on at 4, but Pacific time.
Yeah, I mean, do they know whom you will be working with?
Okay.
Those are questions.
I think the person I will be working with is the one that is going to interview me.
Okay.
So, okay. Oh, by the way, I changed the, based on the discussion we had, the mail that I sent you about the license of the software, I changed the license of Plexus.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that's, more impact is better.
Yeah, exactly. So, the other thing is that I was thinking about the traces. So, you mentioned something that we need to add additional information, right? And we also need to add the web, additional information to the traces, and also at the traces of the web server.
Yeah.
Right.
So the web server, I think George would have that.
Right.
And
but I think that's mostly done, right, because of this wiki page I sent you.
What is mostly done?
The
traces?
The traces.
Yeah, the what you have there is good. Just add that additional extra information about the pointer to block trace, this is how you, I mean, if it is a block trace, it's a block trace, so just add a pointer to say, well, this is a block trace, you can actually replay the trace, whatever.
Okay.
Some brief information, because the people who are downloading the trace may not know anything about block trace.
Okay.
Right. So, for us to make the trace usable, we should provide them some basic information.
Okay, so what I will do is, I will put some subsection talking about block trace. And
you don't have to write a whole lot. I mean, if you just say, okay, the
comments and the tools,
yeah,
and how, you know, what tools do what,
right? Yeah,
then they should figure out how to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we have the web server, I think those three are good enough.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I sent an email to the first out of Gordon, because they did a flash simulator. So I told him that, probably, that if he can send me the simulator, because I'm doing some research in flash. So see how.
Is that when they say flash simulator, is a single chip or full SSD?
That's a good question. I think it's a chip.
It's a chip. Because I think they're building their own.
So they are not simulating. Yeah, they are doing the board. But I think in their board, each chip is like a device.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't actually need the controller or anything.
They need some sort of
Bus traction, right?
No, they need a controller. I mean, some sort of.
But that controller pulls together the whole flash package.
Or at least one per flash chip, maybe. I'm wondering what. There has to be some interface between the CPU and that flash chip, because flash, only NAND flash especially, can only be accessed in pages. So you can read and write pages, you cannot read and write bytes, right? I mean, that's how I understand NAND flash. With NOR flash you can read bytes. It has byte addressability. But with NAND flash, I don't think you have byte addressability. And the CPU, there has to be some kind of controller between them, between the CPU and the flash chip.
Okay.
So it may be one controller per flash, or maybe, which probably does not make sense, if the controller does exactly the same thing, you can use just one controller.
So the target of these Gordon guys is server or data center, so.
Yeah. Basically it, and they're arguing for power consumption.
For power consumption. Yeah,
they're saying performance per power. Performance per watt is the metric that they are going
after. Oh, okay. Did they build any prototype?
I think. Well, actually, I
think they evaluate based on simulation.
Could be, yeah.
Okay.
What about the other two ideas, you think, the hybrid memory and...
The hybrid memory, I'm fine.
The cache and buffer thing.
Yeah, so about the cache and buffer thing, what I think is that it's hard to make the point to construct something like this. I think L2ARC do mostly...
And Logzilla. L2ARC and Logzilla, right?
I haven't seen Logzilla.
Logzilla is basically the whole idea of having a buffer for disk and having a circular buffer on the flash.
Okay. This is in ZFS?
Yeah, this is in the new ZFS.
Oh, okay. I haven't read about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in Adam Leventhal's blog. So.
Okay.
And also in that article that I gave you for the whole communications of the ACM magazine. You remember there's a whole bunch of articles.
But I thought I read that, but that communications is new or?
No, it's July 2008.
Yeah, that's what I read, but I don't remember Logzilla. Okay. Yeah, well, anyway, so it's hard to make the point, right, for constructing an additional buffer cache for the SSD for secondary storage.
It's hard to make the case, you mean?
Make the case.
I guess the case is in... There are two metrics that we are going after, performance and power. Right? So power is something we already explored with excess. That if you have all the data in your flash, you can put the disk to sleep. Performance is something we have not yet explored. So the case for the hybrid is... For power, at least, is already, in a way, exists, right? But for performance, we can argue that with writes, that's why, I mean, one of the experiments that I want you to do is that sequential writes for a long period of time, so we can measure the throughput.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that if I'm not able to solve these problems,
you don't know that, yeah.
Then there's no point, right? Because
what about those experiments where you were doing sequential? Were you doing sequential writes before with larger I/O sizes?
That's the problem. That's what I was saying. I mean, the thing is that if you do larger writes, then you have more time to, you know, queue the, or rather less time to clean the blocks you have, right?
Yeah. So I think addressing this problem that you have right now is pretty important. I mean, even for a proposal like this, we would like to have some graphs to show.
Okay.
To make the case for sequential, you know, for instance, to make the case for sequentializing all the writes to SSD. If we can show sequential write sustained performance and random write sustained performance. And if the difference is large enough, then that's a good case to make all the right sequential, even with adding more data. Even by writing more data, if I can make sequential all the writes, then I get really good performance, and it's worth doing that overhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, probably that's true. But, well, I guess the L2ARC guys and now the Loxy Laser, they actually they're going, they want to increase performance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're saying that, well, how does this new system compare against that?
Exactly. And, right.
In a way, this is sort of only one component of this overall proposal, which overlaps with what the Sun guys are doing already.
Okay.
And the reason we have this component is for completeness. It's all, to explore all the different ways in which you can use Flash in a disruptive way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if there is a comment which says, well, this component is not all that novel, I don't think that's going to hurt much, as long as we have other novelties in the proposal, or enough other novelties.
Yeah.
I think the hybrid memory is something which is novel, but the real devil is in the details as to what are the problems and challenges and solutions.
Yeah, so today I was reading this article, right, that mentioned more or less differences in access time.
Hmm.
So they said that the SSD has an access time of 85 microseconds.
For reads.
Mm-hmm. While memory has 1 microsecond.
Hmm.
So it's 2 orders of magnitude of difference, right?
So the challenge then is to how to make sure that you have 99% hit ratio in the memory, and only or less or more hit ratio in memory, and very little miss.
Right. So well, two questions. What is the usual? If you know, right? I have the rules.
No, you mean the page fault rate? How much?
For instance, yeah. Well, I was thinking about TLB and
memory.
Cache.
So TLB is also pretty high. It's in the 90s range.
Okay.
And page fault is even higher. Page fault is like way over 99%.
Okay.
I mean, not page fault. Yeah, way over 99%. And so we had to go through the sort of the same limits of page fault. Maybe we can sustain a little less than what you have with disk-based swap. With SSD-based swap, since it's faster, maybe you can sustain a greater page fault rate.
Right. And the point is that, because as I was saying, I noticed in my system, at least, I have 2 gigs of memory.
Mm.
And apparently the swap is not used at all. I never see any of my swap use.
Mm-hmm.
The swap in my laptop at least is just used for Hibernate,
mm-hmm.
and that's all. Right, so
I mean, it might not even be used for Hibernate. I mean, it depends on how Hibernate is implemented.
Yeah, well, in the case of Linux, it's implemented. I mean,
it's implemented using swap.
Swap. So you, I guess it just eliminates most of the data structures that I can recover, right? Some, like 30 pages, you don't need to you need to flush them,
mm.
and the clean page or the page cache, you don't need to save. Right?
Mm.
So the point is that they want to
reduce the
footprint of the kernel to 512 megabytes,
uh-huh.
and they put all this in the swap space.
Okay.
So after you reboot, they read the swap partition, and they go up again.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, but the thing is that So my point in this hybrid memory was to eliminate as much memory as you can, so now you don't have that power consumption, right?
It's not as much as you... Yeah, I mean, in a way, as much as you can, because you the less memory you have, the less money you pay.
The less money you pay.
Also, the less power you pay.
Also, the less power you pay. But there should be some, and that's the challenge, right? There should be some metric in where you say, okay, by adding this amount of flash and having this amount of memory, you will have this heat ratio, right? Or, but you will also save this amount of power and
yeah,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, right.
So if we go after this, what can we compare against?
That's a very good question.
Well, the base case, which is
compare against just memory alone.
Right.
If you have only memory and you have more memory, how much power you consume? You know, what is the price of the system? Mm-hmm. Or you can compare with disk-based swap to see what you get in terms of performance. So these are the two extremes of, and the flash is somewhere in between.
Yeah, so I guess we need to make some kind of a study where we trace how much memory is consumed by the kernel itself and the applications. And also page cache, that I think is most of the memory, right?
Yeah.
So
the real question, I think, in this sort of research is that is there like a sweet spot of combination of memory and flash that is ideal with respect to performance and cost. So,
right. So
how do I say this? So, so you add more memory, you increase the cost. You add more flash, you will increase the cost. Right? But the cost will increase at a lower rate as you if you add flash. Add more memory, your performance will increase.
Right.
Right.
So okay, so I guess that will depend on the administrator itself. So I guess you need the model that has as input what throughput you want. And the idea is that this model finds...
Not throughput necessarily.
Or
in here we are talking about the capacity, right, primarily. We're talking about the size of the working active working set. Which portions of memory are actually being used? The working set, I want to keep all of it in RAM. And the non-working set can be in flash.
Yeah, but you can...
Hi, Medha.
Well,
I'm going to meet with her, so we can continue our discussion. We can continue our discussion later.
Sure.
But this is something I'm very interested in.
Yeah. Sure. So
let's talk about it more on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. Fine.
Okay.
All right, man.
How was your interview?
It was very